You as WOWs have stepped out of the narrow and crooked road of religion into the straight highway and the boundless ability of God. Therefore, you are men and women who dare to believe the word. In Acts chapter 4, in verse 29, it says, "And now the Lord beheld their threatenings." The Lord, it was a prayer. And by the way, this is the first one mentioned in the word after the day of Pentecost. He beheld and they prayed, "O Lord, behold their threatening." The people who were opposed to the outreach of the integrity and accuracy of God's word. And their prayer was, "Grant unto thy servants," serving people on a horizontal level like the WOWs do, "that with all boldness they may speak thy" what? "Word." One thing, people, the word, and nothing but the word. You as WOWs, no more word than any other people basically are going to run into. And I don't care if they've gone to church for 70 years or if they're graduate of theological seminaries. Unless they have really put their head into the word like you have, you will stand head and shoulder in a knowledge of the word above them. And you got to hold forth that word with boldness. That's what they prayed. That with all boldness. Boldness. Not obnoxiousness now. But with what? Boldness. That we may speak one thing. What? The word. You're not out there to solve the ecological problems or the social problems. The ecological problems, the social problems, the government problems will be solved when people come back to the word. It's the word that has the answer to the life of every man, woman, boy, or girl. They held forth that word and they spoke it with all what? Boldness. Then they prayed, "By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy servant." The word "child" is the word "servant" in the text. Jesus. They expected miracles, they got them. You expect a miracle, you'll get it if you hold the word of God forth with all what? Boldness. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Now, I do not believe that means the tent was shaken or the house was shaken physically, but it is a figure of speech, metonymy, the figure of speech. It's used first in Genesis where God told Noah to take all the family, his family, into the house. But all the people there, all the people were shaken. They were amazed. And they were all filled, with Pneuma Hagion, Holy Spirit. And they spake the word of God with all what? Boldness. Verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one what? And of one soul. Just like you are in the family. If you're in that family, that twig family, you are of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. They shared. It doesn't say communistic. Communistic is of the devil. Having all things common is of the Lord. Verse 33. And with great what? What kind of power? Great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. and great grace was upon them all. The same is true of you. If you get your family tied up, and that family has all things in common, and you're great witnessers, there's going to be great grace, and great grace means divine favor upon every one of you. Every one of you. Verse 20, 34. Neither was there any among the WOWs that what? Lacked. People, God has said He'd supply our need according to His riches in glory through whom? Christ Jesus. Right? So man, just believe God. There was none among them that what? And the same is going to be true for you. You just honor the Word, and you're going to do exploits for God as a WOW. In the book of Numbers, 23, verse 19, God is not a what? Man. That He should what? The Word of God says every man's a liar. God is not a what? That He should lie. Neither the Son of Man that ye should repent. Hath He said? Has He said something and shall He not what? Has He spoken and shall He not make it good? Whatever God has spoken, people, in His Word, God will make good. For He backs up His Word. The Word of God is as much God is God, people. Time and time again, in the Word of God, even in the prayers like in Acts, if I'd have gone on, the believers reminded God of what He had promised in their prayer life. God is not a man that He's lied about His Word. If God said something, He's going to do it. He's going to make it good. You just believe that out on the field and you will see it come to pass. In Isaiah, chapter 55 of Isaiah, verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of your WOW mouth. That's right. Any person's mouth. Your WOW, right? It shall not return unto me what? But it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper whereunto I sent it. It shall prosper. God's word that goeth out of the mouth of God does not return empty. It produces. Look what it produced in your life. You wouldn't be here tonight as a WOW if the word of God hadn't produced it, and you know it. Many of you were all bombed out before. You know that too. I mean, nobody needs to tell you that. Well, what changed your life, people? That's right. And that made you feel again like a man's man, like a woman's woman. It shall not return void, empty, but it's going to accomplish that for which God sent it. Look at verse 12. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with what? Peace. I expect this in your life. I expect you to have that joy. I expect you to have that peace in your family. You'll have it in the family when the individual has it in his or her life. And then this beautiful figure. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing. And all the trees of the field are going to clap their hands. Tremendous figure. In Isaiah 45, you're going to do some mighty exploits for God this year as you honor the Word. Isaiah 45, 23. God says, I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth and shall not return, that is void, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. God swore by himself that he'd back up his word. In Jeremiah chapter 1, in verse 12, the Lord said, I will hasten my word to perform it. I will hasten it, quicken it. That means put it in high gear. Hasten my word to do what? Perform it. He backs up his word, people. Just so long as you hold forth God's word, you have no opportunities whatsoever. He will back up his word. He's going to perform it. Don't you try to perform it. You haven't got it. Let God do it. You teach the word. You share the word. Let God give the increase. Remember the record? Paul said, I think I planted, Apollos did a little watering. But who gave the increase? You plant, you water, and quit stewing. I thank God we have no membership in the Way Ministry. I love that. That's right. Somebody may plant, somebody else may water, but it's God who does what? And he keeps the log upstairs, wherever he keeps it. That's right. I thank God I don't have to go around and write all your names in a book and get you to sign it and say, now you're members of the Way. Lord, if I had to do that, I'd quit. Right. Too much trouble. Let God keep the score. Let God keep the records. He's got more secretaries than I have. Let him do it. That's right. All I'm responsible to do is to plant and to water. Rightly divide the word. Just hold forth the word. That's all. Just hold it forth. Let God give the increase. Isn't that great? That's why the Way Ministry is so terrific in so many ways. You know, if you hire somebody, you can fire them, right? If I'm the employer and hire you to work for me, I can do what? That's right. But see, in the Way Ministry, you can't join anything so nobody can throw you out. Stay as long as you like. It's a tremendous thing. And God honors his word, people. He brings it to pass. I will hasten to perform it. I suggest to you, you speak the word and step aside and watch it happen. You better get out of the road quickly. I will run over you like a steamroller or something. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, listen to verse 22. But so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant. Surety means guarantee. He's talking about the priests, the bulls, the goats, all that other stuff. But Jesus Christ was made a guarantee, a better surety of a better covenant. You have a better covenant than just the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they were servants of God in a perpendicular way and servants to their fellow men on a horizontal level. You are sons of God in a perpendicular way and servants on a horizontal level. It's a better covenant. It's a guaranteed covenant by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 4, listen to verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper. Quick, you know, means living. Powerful means energetic, dynamic. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, psyche, and spirit, life, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner. The word discerner is critic. C-R-I-T-I-C. It's a critic. It's the critic, the word of God, of the thoughts and the intents of the what? It's again the word of God, people. You honor the word of God and then do exploits for God in His name. Verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not open or manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him, unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to what? Do. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 10 it says, for we are His what? We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are God's workmanship. My first birth was the workmanship of my daddy and mommy. When I was born again, it was the workmanship of God. We are God's workmanship. Don't you ever forget it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Listen to this record. We then as workers together with Him, with God. Workers together with God, people. Can you imagine a higher calling, a greater employer than God? You're God's workmanship to begin with. Then you are a worker together with God. Man, that makes God the boss. Do you think He'll watch over His interest and His concern? Oh my, yes, people. He loves you. He'll watch over it. He'll take care that His word is performed quickly, that it's done. We are His workmanship, and we hold forth His word. Look at Philippians chapter 2. And in verse 13, listen to this great record. For it is God which worketh. The text reads, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. All you need to do is allow it to come to the surface. God is what? At work. God's at work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God's at work within you to will and to do His good pleasure. All you have to do is be cognizant of it, people. Recognize it. Allow it to happen. God's at work with you, within you. Christ is in you, right? So God is at work within you through Christ Jesus. for two reasons, to will and to do His what? Good pleasure. Look at Philippians chapter 4. The word careful in verse 6 is be anxious. Verse 6, chapter 4 of Philippians. Be anxious for what? Nothing. The word anxious means anxiety. Most people you will meet have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety in their life. That's what the world breeds. But you are sons and daughters of God. If God will watch over the grass, the flowers of the field, the birds of the air, how much more, sir, over you who are His wonderful sons and daughters. That is why be anxious for what? You don't bite your fingernails up to the second knuckle. Let the unbeliever do that. But in everything, in every what? In everything. By prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Not your next door neighbor. But unto whom? When I was doing the advanced class, I forget when, in Bristol, England, I visited not only the locations where George Mueller did the great Mueller orphanages, but I went to the cemetery and stood next to the tombstone of George M. Mueller, where he's buried. For almost 50 years, that man who pioneered and who perhaps saved England and set the whole pattern for the English blessing upon people who were so unfortunate as to be orphans. That man for almost 50 years never asked a man for a nickel. Now, a nickel is American money, you know, English money, whatever that would be. He never asked them for a penny. Whenever he needed anything, he prayed, and he always needed it. And he prayed, and he believed God. He just never asked people for anything. All through the years that I've been joyfully a part of the Way Ministry, I have never asked one man or one woman specifically to give anything to this ministry. We have no individual member canvas. I've just never asked. I learned a lot of this from George Mueller, because George Mueller was one of the men whom I read about when I was a young man. And it always lodged in my heart. And I always had a dream that someday, maybe, I would get to the place where that man lived. Well, it took quite a few years, but I made it a few months ago. And I walked over the same grounds that that man walked over. I walked into his office where he lived, and you know, where he spent most of his life, in his office, like most of us men do who work. And I can't tell you what happened in my soul. I felt like a charge of electricity going through me, just that I would have the privilege of walking in and standing in that office where that wonderful George Mueller worked. I was electrified. And at one time, ladies and gentlemen, in a day, when the orphans were kicked around, thrown in jails in Great Britain and every other thing they did to them, George Mueller had over 2,000 orphans. He educated them. He clothed them. He fed them. And then he prepared them for jobs and sent them out. I want to tell you, that was a great day in that time. A man by the name of George Mueller. Really something. There's an incident told about George Mueller that one morning it was almost 7 o'clock, time for breakfast. And they had no food, not one morsel of bread or porridge or whatever they were looking for. Nothing to eat. And one of his top men, like his Howard Allen or something, looked at George Mueller. They had never been this close to the wire before. And he looked at George Mueller and he said, "George, what are we going to do?" And George looked him straight in the eye and he said, "Sir, you can no longer work for me. It is not 7 o'clock." And about a minute or two before seven, the bread trucks rolled up and everybody had breakfast at 7 o'clock that morning. You can read the record of George Mueller if you like. It's printed. You can also go and see those great places that he built where he housed and fed them. I even went down to the place where it all started. All that stuff is torn down today, but you can't tear it out of my mind. I could see it. I could see what was there. And I thought of this scripture today when I was preparing for tonight's presence with you. I thought of George Mueller, how time and time again he could have bit his fingernails up to the second knuckle, but a man of believing just doesn't do it. He stands put upon God's word if it never comes to pass. He still believes it. Boy, that's the word. And in all of my years of ministering in the integrity and accuracy of the word, I've never seen the word fail, honey. I have failed the word, but I've never seen the word fail, baby. So whenever somebody takes a crack at the word, you've got a problem with me. A real big problem. Because nobody touches the word. You can touch my life, but don't you tell me it isn't God's word. I'll look you straight in the eye and say, "You're a damn liar." I have never seen the word of God fail people. Never. Never. So don't you be anxious for anything. Having done all, do what? It is God's word we're holding forth, and he is accountable for his word, not you. You're held accountable for the way you present it. God's held accountable to perform it. And the same God who created the heavens and the earth, still alive tonight, baby. Still the same God. Still the same Lord Jesus Christ. And he's still doing the same when men and women rise up to believe it. And you are WOWs, believing it, walking out on it. That's what you're doing. Try. Look at verse 7 of Philippians 4. And the peace of God, the peace of God. Lordy, Pete, how people need this. People are always talking about peace, and they're most unpeaceful people you've ever seen. Governments always talking about peace. You know that, right? And always killing each other, fighting like crazy. The peace of God is what they need. And no man or woman will ever have the peace of God without the Son of God who brings the peace. Peace is an inside job more than external. You got to have it first, sir, before you can give it to anybody else. You got to have it first, honey, before you can give it. You got to have it on the inside. Peace is an inside job. It passes all what? And I like to paraphrase it and say it passes all misunderstanding too. That peace is going to keep you. That's what's going to keep you. That quiet serenity knowing Christ is in you. That's going to keep your heart and your what? Through whom? Christ Jesus. That's what's going to keep you. Then he says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. It's just as easy to think good about a person as evil. The only reason we think evil all the time is because that's the society we've been brought up with. And all we've ever been taught is to think evil of people. Well, you can change. You did when you got born again. So you renew your mind and you begin to see the good in people, the potential, the latent power within them. See, when I look at you people, I see the greatness of the God in Christ. I see the potential of the dynamic that's within you, of what you can really be as a woman or as a man. So I think good. I think that which is true, which is honest. I have learned to think positively instead of negatively. Because I've learned whatever you think, you get. Whatever you believe for, you receive. There's an old statement, which is sort of accurate. Give a dog a bad name and he lives up to it. I think this is true of people. I just so believe in you that I just pull the best out of you. Because you wouldn't want to disappoint me when I think so much of you. Would you now?
No.
Well, I wouldn't want to disappoint you either. You see, I just believe you are what the Word of God says you are, and I just expect the greatest things out of you. You know, I've lived a few years and gone through a lot of experiences in this ministry. I've literally seen people killed because the parents believed they were going to die. Oh, I've seen all this stuff. You know, it's just as easy to think for me when my Sarah or JP are out at night that they're having a great time living it up, than for me to think, well, I wonder if they're going to be in an automobile accident tonight. I wonder if he's out getting drunk or something. See, I just don't let my mind do that. I got more believing in my kids. A lot of you came out of backgrounds where you were dogged and hassled and you were told you'd never amount to anything anyways. Well, I want to tell you every damn thing you were taught is a lie. Because you've got Christ in you, and that makes you a somebody, boy. You're darn right, that's right. I don't think Mrs. Wirbel or I have ever told our children they didn't amount to anything. As a matter of fact, we've always told them they were the best in the world. Why not? But boy, I know you are when you have Christ in you. Why not? Why not be the best men the world has seen? They haven't seen any men. They've seen knocked out, copped out bunch of birds. No real men of God. That's right. All they've evaluated on, how much money can you make and how down can you put others to put yourself up? That's right. I think I could take any business in the state of Ohio with my ability and run it on half time. Now it takes me full time to run the Way Ministry. But boy, that stuff is duck soup compared to moving the greatness of the Word. Howard Allen, the secretary treasurer of the Way, walked in and I said, Howard, I thank God for people that got brains. I haven't got it, but I sure thank God they've got it. And boy, I was so blessed that we have men and women of this ability. It was just fantastic. Boy, how they had all that computer stuff set up. It's so far beyond me. I have problems with the Word that those fellas figured out. But imagine tonight at 6 o'clock, they laid every one of your names in my hand in a book. I've got two books. One's the book that's alphabetical. So whenever I want to know your name alphabetically, I look in that. But whenever I want to find out who is in Nevada, who is in Oregon, who is in New York, who is over in Chile or these other places, I just look in the book, then I can see. Good. Well, verse 11 says, I'm still in Philippians, just did a little sidetracking. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned, verse 11, in whatsoever state I am self-adequate. That's the text. Not what it says in the King James, I guarantee. That is a theological counterfeit that was deliberately put there to teach Christians that whenever the priest said, you don't have anything, he had the scripture to prove it. I am therewith to be content. That's why they got it in the devilish translation. For I've learned in whatsoever state I am, I'm to be what? Self-content. No, no, no. I am to be content in whatever state I am. Sir, by sheer logic, ma'am, if that's true, whatever state I am to be content. You'd never get born again. Because you'd be what? Content being unborn. You know it's a bunch of junk, right? The real text, honey, says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am self-adequate. Another translation puts it, I am self-adequate with the adequacy of Christ in me. Yeah. Is that a dandy? Boy. That's why verse 13 says, I can, not my grandma. I can do all things through whom? Christ, who strengthens me. Where is Christ? In you. The hope of what? Christ is in you. The hope of glory. That's why I can do all things. That's why I'm self-adequate in any situation. I do not condition my life by what people say. I condition my life by what the Word says. I am Word-oriented, not people-oriented. I am Word-conditioned, not circumstance-conditioned. Circumstances come and go. The Word of God liveth and abideth how long? That's right. In verse 13, one of the translations reads as follows, and I think it's beautiful. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. Isn't that the wow is right? I love that. That's why you're wow ambassador. You as wow ambassadors are ready for anything. Why? Because you're equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into you. And don't you ever forget it, for it's Christ in you. Helen Cromer wrote a little poem. I sort of reworked it. And with my apologies to her, I'd like to close this particular teaching tonight with you keeping in mind that you are ready for anything and everything through Him who has infused Himself within you. It's Christ in you. One man or woman awake can waken another. The second can waken his next door neighbor. Three or four awake can rouse a town and turn the whole place upside down. Yes, even one man or woman up with the believing light of the Word in his eyes multiplies.